Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 is where we're going to be at this morning. And I'm going to dive into the lesson because look like everybody ready for me to get started. I'm not going to be that long as normal because I want to get your attention while I have it. I heard about a husband and a wife, and a husband and a wife, they were at church. And the preacher noticed that the husband fell asleep. You know, he dozed off a little bit. So the preacher asked the wife to wake her husband up, to kind of nod and wake him up. And the wife answered the preacher. She said, "You're the one that made him fall asleep, so you wake him up." You know, so I don't want to make y'all fall asleep this morning. I'm going to say a few things, and then I'm going to have my seat. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, my topic for this morning is, it's time for a change. Church, it's time. It's time. It's time for a change. Now, if you can recall when President Obama, when he ran for election the first year, that was his slogan. That was his theme when we voted him in the first year. His theme was, it's time for a change. What President Obama realized is that what the United States needed was a change. Every now and then in life, we may need a change. He noticed that the United States needed that was a change. And just President Obama being a president, an African-American president, was a change all by itself. But his slogan was, a time, it's time for a change. And church, I'm here to tell you this morning that it's time. It is time right now for a change. Amen. Now, I'm sure that some of you notice how things have changed over the years. Many things have changed over the years. System technology has changed. I can remember the days when we had 8-track tapes. We went from 8-track tapes to cassette tapes, to CDs, to MP3s. Some of you youngsters probably don't even know what an 8-track tape is. You're looking like, what is an 8-track tape? Let me tell you, it was one of them things you played music in. And help me, some of you guys who are older, I believe you can only get eight discs on it, right? 8 songs on it. And it was big. And you put it in your car, you slide it in, and you just bumping. And we had 8-track tapes back then. Then it went from 8-track tapes to cassette tapes. A lot of you familiar with cassette tapes. But with the problems with them, they'll pop, huh?
Right.
You have to wind them up. They'll pop on you. But system technology has constantly changed. Things are changing. Machines and computers are replacing manual labor. I was reading about the post office. It was one of the best places that you can work at. But now they're experiencing a lot of layoffs.
Right.
And why they're experiencing layoffs is because you don't have to go to the post office to get things that you need today. You can do a lot of things just online by getting on a computer. But things have changed. Gas prices have changed, right? Those of you who are older, you know. Man, when I was younger, I went to there wasn't a time I put more than $5 worth of gas in my car. I'd go to the gas station, $5. That's all I needed.
Right.
But you see, gas was only about 68 cents then. You didn't need a lot of money to get gas. With gas, we have one station in Metairie where gas is $2.45. But time is changing. Many things have changed. Home phones. How many have a home phone? Probably nobody in here but myself have a home phone. It's obsolete. You don't need home phones anymore. Everybody have cell phones. Well, you see, when I was coming up, we had beepers. Y'all know about beepers? We had pagers. And if you want to reach somebody, you're a beeper. You know, and I wanted a pager so bad and I couldn't afford one, I had one that didn't work. I walk around and I play it and I check it every now and then. No, that thing don't work at all. But we had pagers back then. But we have cell phones today. Even cell phones are changing. And now some of you are not keeping up with the change on the cell phones. Amen. Some of you still have them old cell phones and you're not keeping up. But even cell phones are changing. Things are changing. We're living in a changing world. One of the biggest changes that I noticed is Sundays, working on Sundays. Guys, you can recall, those who are older in here, and I'm not going to say any names, Brother Stoker, but those who are older in here, you know I can play with Stoker like that, but those who are older in here would know that when we were coming up, there was no working on Sundays. Can you imagine that? There was a blue law. You didn't have to work on Sundays back then. Everything was shut down. Boy, I wish we can go back to those days. See, I don't need the old beepers and things like that. But I wish we can go back to when everybody was off on Sunday. Sunday was the day that we worshiped God. People don't care about that now. Folks want to make money. And it's all about a dollar. But back in the days, everybody was off on Sunday. But time is changing. And most folks are afraid of change. You see, it's a matter of a comfort versus the fear of unknown. Change brings with it the risk of failure. That's why you don't want change. Even if it's a positive change, you're afraid that you may fail. You ever been at work and a new manager came in? You know, as soon as you got a new manager, oh, there goes some change. He's going to change this and he's going to change that. And then you get upset about it. Well, the same thing happened in the church. If the leadership change here, then things are going to change here. I think one of the biggest problems with the church today is that we haven't changed. I think what's holding us back as a church in the New Orleans area, the Church of Christ, is that we haven't changed. I believe that there needs to be some positive changes in the church today. Now, the Word of God never changed. The Bible says that the Word of God is here to stay and it's here forever. We need to be preaching and teaching the same thing that the apostles was preaching and teaching over 2,000 years ago. But our method of delivery, how we reach folks, need to change. What are you talking about, Brother Ivory? See, if you want to reach people today, you need to text them. Amen? You need to send out a text. You need to email them. See, knocking on doors is not as effective as it used to be back in days gone by. Back at the college that I work at, we got a program, a system we use called Oxygen. And what it is, it's used to reach out to text all of our students. So in the event we had to close down because of an emergency, we don't have to get on the phone and call all these students. We don't have to send out flyers to all these students. We just send out a text to all our students. Y'all probably got that text. Yeah. When they have an emergency, a hurricane incoming, they reach out to you. We have to change with the time as a Church of Christ in order for us to reach people. If folks want to come and worship with us at Crescent City, they're going to Google you. How many times have you did it when you're looking for something? You're going to Google and see where they're at. We need to have a website where people can find us. So even with the church, I believe there's a lot of things that we can do different in the church. Once again, the message hasn't changed. But sometimes, folks, we as a Church of Christ, we have to embrace positive change because it's about saving souls. It's about reaching folks. Now, somebody will say, well, Brother Ivory, where are you going at with this? It's time for a change. Paul is mentioning that in his text. Paul says in Romans 12:1-3, Paul says that do not conform anymore or any longer to this world. He said don't conform to this world anymore. He says that be changed by the renewing of your mind. You see, once you become a child of God, once you become a born-again Christian, then you change. You change, the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, then he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Y'all see the change that's taking place? If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you should have changed. If you're not a Christian, then it's time this morning. It's time for a change.
Right.
See, I know there's somebody out there who's tired. You're tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of living in sin. You know, we human beings, we get tired of doing the wrong thing all the time. And you just want to change, but you just don't know how. Some of you may be doing well in life, and you just something is missing. I remember there was a time in my life when everything seemed to be going good. I had the perfect job, the big house, 3 brand new cars, anything that you can ask for from a secular standpoint, I had it. But still something was missing. I still felt empty. I knew something just wasn't right. You may feel like that this morning. And if you feel like that, then it's time for a change. It's time for a change. And the change is knowing Jesus.
Right.
The change is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and following him. You see, Christians are called not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world with its behavior, with its custom that is usually selfish and corrupt. See, many Christians wisely decide that worldly behavior is off limits for them. You see, our refusal to conform to this world, this world's value, must go deeper than the level of behavior and custom. It must be firmly planted in our minds. Man. The Bible says that it must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you accept on Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you change inside and here, in the heart and your mind. And when you do that, you start thinking about different things. That's why you're a changed person. Right. You don't just change from the outside. You see, the change starts on the inside out when you become a child of God. Somebody needs that change this morning. All of us are looking to do something positive in our lives. Well, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior is your change. That's your answer. You see, when we change, when our minds is renewed, we think about better things, positive things. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and 8. Philippians chapter 4 and 8. In that text, Paul tells us some of the things that we started thinking about that we need to be thinking on. In Philippians 4 and 8, the Bible says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. When we are a child of God, we have no business to keep reflecting on bad things. Right. We got to start thinking about positive things. You see, how that happened is the Holy Spirit, when you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects our minds, and we are transformed. You're no longer thinking about doing the things that you used to do. But that's when the change takes place. Somebody here needs to change this morning. It's time for a change. And let me tell you, I'm not just talking about a secular change. You know, sometimes you may know somebody who's changed, who used to be one way and now they're another. Y'all know that. That's a secular change. Right. Let me give you an example. Malcolm X. Malcolm X started out as a troubled youth. He was running wild and robbing people. Now, when he was in his mid-20s, Malcolm X was sentenced to 10 years in prison. But right there in prison is where he changed, where he changed his life. In prison, he educated himself. He stopped drinking. He stopped smoking. He became an African-American Muslim minister, a public speaker, and a human rights activist. So he changed his life around. But that's a secular change, and nothing's wrong with that. That's a good change as well. But I'm talking about something bigger than that. I'm talking about a spiritual change. Man. You see, when you change spiritually, you also change secularly. You see, that secular change is a temporary thing. You may change for a little while and just go right back. But see, when you change spiritually, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when you decide to follow him, that's a spiritual change that can last a lifetime. If you want to do right this morning, if you want to be headed in the right direction, then it's time for a change. You know who you are. You know who I'm preaching to this morning. You know how you've been living. You know your life is in shambles and that you need to change. You can be a child of God already, and maybe you fell off. You haven't been doing right, and only you and God knows about it. You may need that change this morning. You know, sometimes in life, we have to stop and look back at our lives. We got to evaluate ourselves and see how we live in. We got to evaluate ourselves next to the scriptures, not to next to me or another brother and sister. And you got to ask yourself honestly, am I right? Am I headed in the right direction? If not, then this morning, church, it's time for a change. That was an old song. You know, we need to accept Jesus. And when we accept Jesus, he will change our life. And it reminds me of the old song. We used to sing it at Elysian Fields all the time. And he says, since I met Jesus, my whole life has changed. He changed. Y'all remember that song? He changed my walk. He changed my talk. My whole life has changed. You know, anybody who's came in contact with Jesus and truly accept him as their Lord and Savior, never been the same person? You realize that? I say truly accept him as their Lord and Savior. Some folks accept him, but don't truly accept him as their Lord and Savior. Those who are committed to him and committed to following Christ, then their life is never the same again. The Bible says when we meet Jesus, he changed our walk and he changed our talk. Your walk is your behavior, the things that you do. Right. How you living?
Right.
I had a good friend of mine. He told me when I first got married to Sheila, he said, "Oh man, you changed, Sad. Call me Sad. You ain't like you used to be." And he blamed it on Sheila. And then after a few years went by, he stopped blaming it on Sheila. And now he's blaming it on the church. And he calls me and he said, "Where you at?" He called himself playing with me. He said, "Where you at, church?" You know, it's supposed to be a joke. "What you doing? At church? Where you headed to? At church?" And he thinks he's insulting me. But actually, he's complimenting me, right? That's not a bad thing. That's good. You think that, that I'm at church. What I'm trying to say is folks can notice that change in your life. People would notice that. Peter talks about that in the book of Peter. Listen to what Peter says. I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 4. I want you to see what Peter says about folks who have changed. In 1 Peter chapter 4, right around verse 4, Peter says, "They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation and the heap abuse on you." Right. Now, that word means that you don't have the same life that you used to do. You don't do the same thing. Peter is saying that the folks that you used to hang with think it's strange that you're not doing the same things that you used to do. You know, when you become a child of God and the true change come in and take place, folks going to notice. Folks going to talk about you. And some of your close friends probably leave you, probably don't want to be with you no more. Why? It's because you're going this way and they're going that way. Y'all not going the same way. I'm talking about spiritually. Y'all going two different directions. And so because that change have taken place. But how about you? Do you know him this morning? See, if you know Jesus, then a change will take place in your life. Because everybody Jesus have come in contact with, everyone who surrendered themselves to the Lord and became a born-again Christian and decided to follow Christ never was the same again. Let me show you in text. First of all, Matthew. Y'all know Matthew. He wrote the book of Matthew. He was a disciple of Jesus. Jesus went to Matthew and he changed his life forever. Matthew was a despised tax collector.
Right.
Matter of fact, when you talk about a tax collector in the Bible, it's right next to the word sinner. Because the Bible says that Jesus was eaten with sinners and tax collectors. So that means it was a bad person a tax collector was. But Jesus called him. Jesus gave Matthew a simple commandment, and it was this. He says, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me." He says, not "follow me plus" or "follow me but" or "follow me if." He says, "Follow me." And Matthew left almost everything for Jesus, right? No, not almost everything. Matthew left everything. Everything he'd had. He decided to leave it alone and follow Jesus. Now, what a simple transaction that is. What a clear and concise picture of conversion. How simple can that be? Jesus says, "Follow me," and Matthew followed him. See, the person who will follow Jesus must go the same direction that Jesus is going. We got to go in that direction. Jesus says, "Follow me." You see, he left everything behind. Not tomorrow, not after he thought about it for a moment, not after some qualifications, but right then and there. See, not without any delay, but immediately. Jesus is calling you this morning. And then you heard me talk about Matthew. He was a tax collector. He wasn't perfect. He had issues. He was one of the despised person during his time. The good thing that we learn about that is Jesus don't care about your past.
Right.
He's not concerned how you came in here. He's concerned how you leave. Amen? He's worrying about how you leave, not how you... We all came in here with some type of issues. But Jesus is calling all of us. But Matthew accepts his calling. And Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And Matthew decided to follow Jesus. And let me tell you, his life was never the same. A change took place. The Bible tells us that more than any other disciples, Matthew had a clear idea of how much it would cost to follow Jesus. Yet he didn't hesitate one moment. You see, when he left his tax collecting booth, he guaranteed himself unemployment. You see, the other disciples could go back to fishing. But Matthew, there was no turning back. That was it for him. But he decided to follow Jesus. You see, two changes happened when Matthew decided to follow Jesus. The first change is this. Jesus gave him a new life. you decide to follow Jesus this morning, he will give you a new life. He gave him a new life. See, he not only belonged to a new group. Thank you. He belonged to the Son of God. He was not only accepting a different way of life. He was now an accepted person. Now, for a despised tax collector, that change may have been wonderful for him. He changed his life around. He was a sinner. He was one of the worst of sinners. But he decided to follow Jesus. And his life was never the same.
Right.
Because he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Somebody out there needs to do the same thing. You're tired of being sick and tired. You're tired of sinning and living in a hopeless life. In a body, in a life that you know that you're not getting anywhere. Then you need to make a change. He not only changed Matthew's life, but he also changed Peter. Y'all remember Peter? He called Peter as well. You see, Peter originally worked in his father's fishing business. But Jesus saw Simon, which is Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting net into the lake because they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them both, he said, come and follow me. And their lives was changed forever. They came and followed him. That same call is what I'm trying to tell you, church, is for you this morning. It's for each and every one of us. Jesus is calling you. He wants you to come and follow him. Peter wasn't a learned man in the scriptures. By the matter of fact, Peter was considered an unlearned man.
Right.
Peter was not an educated man, but Jesus still reached out to him. You don't have to have a master's degree, a PhD, to follow the Lord. He don't care about all that. One of the good things about being a Christian is God is not going to run your background.
Right?
Right? You go to look for a job today, they're going to run your background, they're going to run your credit, they're going to check it all, and then they'll probably still turn you down. See, being a Christian doesn't cost all that. Only thing you have to be is dedicated and faithful, and you can be successful. You see, success in God's eyes is different than man's eyes. See, man look at material things, but God doesn't see the same thing that man sees.
Right.
Success in God's eyes is someone who's faithful and obedient to God. And all of us can be that. It don't take a rocket science to be that way. So he called Peter. And when he called Peter, guess what? Peter sinned, didn't he?
Right.
Peter failed. You know, some of us have been called and we became Christians, but we mess up sometimes.
Man.
Why? Because we're human. Y'all remember what Peter did, huh?
Right.
If you don't, you need to go read it. Peter denied the Lord. I can't think of a sin so bad than deny Jesus. How can you say, I don't know him? I don't know the Lord. You know, you'll never make it to heaven denying the Lord.
Right.
But what did God do? Jesus forgave him. Gave him another chance. Restored him and put him right back. Matter of fact, Peter was the one that preached the first sermon to the church.
Man.
This guy, that would never happen today, right? Well, let somebody fall today. You don't even want to see that person anymore. Peter preached the first sermon. He got up because God forgave him. I thank God. Boy, I'm thankful for a God like a forgiven God today. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, right around verse 17, that when we sin, that we have a God that will forgive us and not remember it anymore. You need to see, some of us ain't that way. Sometimes when folks sin, we keep putting in front of them. But God won't remember that sin anymore. So Peter was called. Not only was Peter called, he messed up, he got back up, and Peter was called again to preach and teach. His life was changed. Yours can be changed as well. I want to share one more person with you who changed. And we are familiar with this guy. How about Paul?
Uh-oh.
How about the Apostle Paul?
Uh-oh.
Oh, y'all see these guys I'm putting in front of you? Not good people. All of them had issues.
Right.
God don't call perfect people. If you have a problem, he's calling you. He's come here for the sick, not those who don't need a doctor. We all need them. God doesn't call perfect people. He called people who need help. He called Paul. Let me tell you about the Apostle Paul. He was brought up in a devoted Jewish family. He had received his careful instructions in the Jewish law, and he had joined the Pharisees. He was a zealous to following every point of the Mosaic commandment. You see, Paul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, a greatly esteemed tribe among the Jews. Paul was also a Pharisee, a member of a very devoted Jewish sect that kept his own rules and regulations, regardless of the law of Moses. You see, Paul was an educated man. Paul was no ignorant person. Paul was very educated.
Right.
He was an educated man who thought he was serving the true God. But Paul was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees had their own belief system, their own way of worship, and they followed the tradition of man. You see, we have a lot of people in the world like that today. A lot of folks who are like Paul, who are educated and think they're worshiping the true God, but they're not. Somebody asks, well, why? Why did Paul, a devoted Jewish leader, persecute the church? You see, Paul thought that Christianity was a theory and blasphemy. You see, because Jesus did not meet Paul's expectation of a Messiah, Paul assumed that Jesus' claim was fake and that he was wicked. Can you imagine that? Paul thought that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, that he wasn't the Lord of Lords. He thought he was some fake Messiah. So Paul persecuted the church. Everything that the church was doing, Paul worked against it. He was against it. Paul, I'm trying to paint a picture of Paul. Paul was a bad fella. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, from the day of Stephen's death, a great persecution broke out against the followers of Jesus. Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged out men and women, and he put them to prison. This is the kind of man he was. He didn't care less about the church. He did everything he can to stop the church from growing. He didn't care nothing about Jesus. He thought he was a fake. 1 Timothy 1 and 16 says that Paul was once a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was a violent man. Paul says he was the chief of sinners. This was a bad man. You and I would say, no way this guy is going to become a Christian. No way God is going to call this man to be saved. Let me tell you about Paul. We have some Pauls in here today. See, anybody here this morning who's not a child of God, who's not working for God, then you're against him. See, there's no in between. You either with him, or you're without him. You either with him or you're against him. One of the way. You either helping the church grow and edifying them and telling others and saving souls, or you're not. You can't be no in between. Right. If you are not with Jesus this morning, then you're persecuting him. The Bible says that you're putting him on a cross all over again. That's what Paul was doing. But guess what? There's hope. There was hope for Paul, and there's hope for you. There was a change that was needed in Paul's life. Paul, as you can see, was a bad man, and he needed to change. That change took place in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, go with me there, right around verse 3. In Acts chapter 9, right around verse 3, the Bible says, as he neared Damascus, and we're talking about Paul, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, which is Paul. He says, why do you persecute me? Why are you working against me? Why are you not faithful to me? Why are you not following me? He said, why are you doing this? You see, Jesus is asking some of you that same question this morning, whatever your name is. He's asking you, why aren't you obeying my commandments? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you working and hurting the church? He asks, Paul is, and listen to what Paul respond was. Paul says, who are you? Who are you, Lord? Paul didn't know him. He didn't know Jesus. He was doing it out of ignorance. Paul was an intelligent man, but he didn't know Jesus. Where you going at, Brother Ivory? You probably that same way this morning. You're probably here and you've been living your life for 20, 30 years and you don't know Jesus. You never came in contact with him. Nobody told you about him. So you may be here for a reason. I believe God does everything for a reason. There's a divine purpose why you're here. You, just like Paul met Jesus on the road of Damascus, you may be here for a reason, to hear the word of God yourself. But Paul accepted it. Paul accepted his calling. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And you'll never read about Paul persecuting the church again. Am I right about it? You'll never read about it anywhere, because a change took place in his life. That change needs to probably take place in yours as well. If you're here this morning and you know who you are, and you're persecuting the Lord, you're persecuting this church, you're not a child of God. If you're simply not a child of God, then you're persecuting the church. If that's you this morning, then it's time for a change. change. You have to make it up in your heart that you want to change, that you want to get it right. You got to decide this morning that God is right and that you are wrong. Am I right about it? It's time for a change. See, a lot of times we don't want to change until we force to change. You see, God is not going to force you, as I come to a close. He's not going to force you to accept him. He's not going to force you to change your life. The gift of life is free. Heaven can be all of our home. It's a free gift, but you got to accept it. You got to say to yourself this morning that I want to change. I want to get my life right. You know, the best thing I ever did in my life, the best decision I made, whether it's being married or changing jobs, was when I decided to follow Christ. My life has never been the same. Yes, I still experience heartaches. Yes, time gets tough, money gets short, right? I have problems at work. I go through the same problems that you go through. Problems at home, problems at work. But there's a difference when you're a child of God, because you got somebody on your side and you know you can win. See, it doesn't matter to me what I face, because I know I can win, because I have Jesus with me and he already won the battle. You see, the battle that we're facing, when we're facing bad things in life, it's not yours. It's actually the Lord. And we got to know when to let go and let God. Somebody needs to change this morning. If you're here as I come to a close and you don't know Jesus, you're not a child of God. You haven't been saved. You're not a follower of Christ. You haven't been added to the Lord's church where the save is. Then you have to make that decision this morning to come to God, to be baptized into Christ, to become a child of God according to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Ivory, how do I do that? You first have to hear God's word. Romans 10 and 17, you have to be pretty. You have to know the word of God and you have to believe it. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11 and 6, believe what? You need to believe that Jesus Christ died a long time ago. He was risen on the third day, never to die again for your sins and for mine. You need to know that Jesus opened up the pathway that each and every one of us can be saved if we're faithful to that. You need to know that God, this is good news. Some folks don't know that Jesus did this for you and for me. You need to know it, and you need to believe it. And then once you believe it, you need to repent of your sins this morning. Luke 13 and 3 says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, a lot of us want to accept Jesus Christ, but don't want to put some of the things that we used to do behind us. It's time this morning to change. It's time to repent of your sins and put your past behind you, because God is not concerned of your past. He called Matthew. Matthew had a past and a present. Matthew was in sin when God called him. He wasn't perfect. You know, I wanted to wait till my life was perfect before I became a child of God. And some of you may feel the same way. I'm gonna get myself ready first, because I'm not going to play with God. Yeah. And then I'm going to come down there and be baptized. That didn't happen with Matthew. That didn't happen with Peter. And sure enough, that didn't happen with Paul, right? He changed them around. He changed them. But they repented of their sins, and they decided to follow Christ. And then the next thing you have to do is confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, that confession brought death to Jesus Christ, but it will bring eternal life to you. And then the Bible says that you have to be baptized. We'll baptize you this morning. Why? For the remission of your sins. For all the things that you've done in the past, all the things you thought about 10 minutes ago will be washed away, and you can start off anew in Christ Jesus. And that's when that change takes place, because the Bible says that once you're baptized into Christ Jesus, into his blood, then you receive a gift. And this gift is only for Christians. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can't live without the Holy Spirit. Many people are trying, but they can't get by without the Holy Spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to make it in this wicked old world. You'll be able to face some of the challenges that you're facing. You're able to love folks. You're able to forgive folks when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right. Well, somebody will say, Brother Ivory, I'm already a Christian. Already. And I can't love people. I can't forgive people. I've already been baptized. That's because you're quenching the Holy Spirit. You're not allowing it to manifest in your life. You have a gift. Don't quench that gift that God has given you. Everybody who has been saved have a gift. You can walk with the Lord this morning. I beseech you,
If you're here and you're not a child of God, change this morning. Become a Christian. Now, you're not going to become perfect Monday because you got baptized today. You won't be perfect Monday. You're going to still have issues that you're going to have to work with. But you're working towards perfection this morning. Make that change. Make that decision to come to God. If you're here and you don't know Him, get to know Him this morning. Start by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, that when you put on Christ, when you're baptized into Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ, not me, but the Lord Jesus Christ will add you to His church. That's where the save is. What church? The only church that existed back over 2,000 years ago. And that's the Lord's church, Matthew 16:8. Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. He's the only one promised to build a church. He's the only one died and shared His precious blood for the church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about people who follow Christ. Followers of Christ are all in the church. We all believe in and teaching the same thing. And we got in the church the same way. And that's true. Baptism. And Jesus says one of these days He's coming back for that church, for that group of people, all those people who believe and teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You can be a member of that group. And let me tell you the special thing about it. I know I'm going a little long, but that we're a family. When you become a member of the Lord's church, you become a member of His family. Everybody, look around you. Everybody who's been baptized, we are a family. We got to act like it. We got to treat each other like it. We don't just call each other brothers and sisters just for nothing. That carries weight. That carries responsibility. That's why I often say you need to be closer than your brother and sister in Christ than anybody. Amen. Because you'll see him again one day. We're all going to the same place, to heaven. If you can't get along with your brother and sister here, you're not going to make it up there. We're a family. Become a part of God's family this morning. Maybe you fell off. You haven't been living right. You need some help, but you've just been blowing it off and blowing it off. This morning is time for change. Stop it. Stop it right now. Ask God to forgive you. Get it right this morning. We had a lady at Elysian Fields. Last week, we were at Elysian Fields. Sheila and I, we was joking and playing with this lady, eating, having a good time. This sister in the hospital right now, doing bad. She's not doing well. Where you going at, Brother Ivory? We never would expect that. I'm sure she didn't expect that either. It may be you. It may be me. And then when you get on your dying bed, you're crying, oh, Lord, help me. Can you heal? It's too late. Judgment has already come on you. It's too late. Make the right decision this morning. It's time for a change. You can come on either category.
As we stand and sing, the invitation song.